One of our favourite times of the week when Keane Manning, history man extraordinaire, joins us in studio. Good to see you, Keane.
Thanks very much for having me back.
A pleasure, can I say. In this month of October, we have rather chilling stories to come our way.
Yeah, this is one of those times of year that I would love to have the voice of Vincent Price. I was trying to practice it to say the words. I know, would you pronounce it macabre or macabre?
Macabre.
Macabre. Yes. See, I was going with the Vincent Price macabre, but it sounded like a really bad John Ford character from White Man.
Do you know something? A very quick fact. Vincent Price, I saw him being interviewed many years ago, and he was saying that he never made any real money. Now, think of all the Hammer House horror movies made, like hundreds of them. And he never made any real money until he did the Thriller video with Michael Jackson.
It's actually insane.
How is that?
Isn't
that incredible?
Yeah.
Not incredible. But sure, anyway, there you go. A little aside. Now, the Costello's Lane ghost of 1892.
Yes.
Tell us more.
Yeah, so we're going a little bit before Michael Jackson.
Ever so slight.
Thriller in reverse. I probably should have said this is really the Carriglee and Costello's Lane ghost. So we have a lot of people are giving out that I keep mentioning Mount Sion, Ballybricken. Obviously, I won't do that today.
On your best behaviour.
But we're going a little bit between not only the city, but also between the city and Passage East with Carriglee.
Right.
So 1892, the Marquis or the Marquess of Waterford evicts a family from a farm in Carriglee.
So serious situation right off
Very
the bat.
Serious, which is, you know, sometimes I find with horror that sometimes reality can be more terrifying than the supernatural. And this is one of those stories that it appears the supernatural is evoked and plays a part. So the Marquis or the Marquess puts in an emergency man, was the term. Generally, this was a person that would be sent to occupy an evicted farm and to make sure it was continued to operate.
Planted, essentially.
Planted, essentially, yes, exactly. Very appropriate. And this particular individual was a man by the name of Peter Kinloch. We believe he may have had a period in the Royal Irish Constabulary as well. But it's kind of like all these really good stories where weird things happen. There's a lot of vagueness to the background story. So inevitably, Kinloch and his family wouldn't have been particularly welcomed in Carriglee.
Well, I would imagine, putting people out of their homes.
Yeah, so it's like we have a report from the Munster Express from the period. They note that Kinloch was like all his fraternity. It was no favouring in the neighbourhood. Indeed, he was looked upon by the young folk as the scourge of the locality.
My God.
So he was a big man. He was around 6 foot. He was recognised for his sharp shooter. Wow. His gun, so you could see him from 100 yards away. And one of the stories I've come across is that if a young man perhaps looked at his daughter, Kinloch's daughter, in a funny way, that they would be whisked off fairly quickly.
No stranger to trouble, then.
So he was a man that had a tight fist on most things. Remarkably, though, there were 3 nights of disturbances in the house. And one of the reports notes that it was like a traction engine with a few loaded wagons attached being driven from room to room. So
these literally supernatural happenings within the house.
Yeah, just these disturbances, loud noises. I don't know about you, I wouldn't be able to function with even a lack of one night's sleep. So the idea of not sleeping for 3 nights is horrific to me.
Imagine hanging around for 3 nights if you thought there was that kind of shenanigans going on in your...
Yeah, I think even 5 minutes would test most.
Would be a long time.
Would most people. Again, we have a mixture of kind of folklore and also kind of local legend and truth. So some people in the area believed it was spirits because they had desecrated the hearthstone of the family that had lived here. So
what's the hearthstone?
Is it the fire?
All right.
That it was, I suppose, I don't know, is it like a family connection that you're just desecrating where the family would have gathered?
Interesting.
Another one which I think is more believable is that it was a ruse from the locals to get the emergency man out of the evicted farm.
Who were particularly good with special effects, obviously.
So, yes. Actually, I think some of them were producers on the Thriller album when it came out.
Could have been.
Vincent Price, Waterford connection there. So, the Kinlochs decide that they need to get out of Carriglee and they decide to go to Costello's Lane, which is not too far from where my father's people come from in Emma Place and Doyle Street.
Okay.
So they move into this property that's actually very well known because it had been used as a polling station in the recent election there. There were no questions about tenancy agreements at that time.
I wouldn't think so.
Just for the Marquess of Waterford.
Indeed.
Apparently. On the night of the 23rd of January 1892, the Kinlochs are awoken by extremely loud knocking, not only on the front door but also the back door at the same time.
Okay.
Kinloch goes to check.
Tone is six-shooter, I would say.
Traditional parliamentary language. And there's no one there. So a neighbour called Walsh is awoken by the disturbance as well. He checks the house when Kinloch notices nothing. And then eventually they see that the noise starts again, these disturbances. So it's obviously a very unsettling situation, regardless of Kinloch's, I suppose, career and occupation and the circumstances in which he gained the property in Carrigley. But you think of his kids in particular, that it must have been terrifying. Another neighbour noted during the disturbance that they could hear a voice, an unearthly, otherworldly voice that said, "Ha-ha, Kinloch, what about Sergeant Murphy?"
Now, which is how does Sergeant Murphy tie into all this?
All that we really know about Sergeant Murphy is that he was an RIC officer stationed near Passage and that he used to pay Kinloch a professional visit at the evicted farm.
All right.
So again,
were they buddies or what? Or?
Again, it's kind of vague on detail, but you kind of realise that there's probably, maybe in telling the story, little bits of innuendo alluding to different things. My favourite part, and it's one of those things that would sober you up pretty quickly, is that on another night, one of Kinloch's kids is, I presume, is in the kitchen and comes back and talks to his mother, and the quote is, "Oh mother, I saw the man without the head, the same as I saw at Carrigley."
By golly.
So we have a headless man able to make it from out Passage direction into the city.
Obviously the head for directions and travel.
Yes, yes. He was I believe he works for GPS now. And basically all this gets around. People are kind of really intrigued.
I would say.
As even today would be intrigued by weird stuff happening.
Sure.
So it leads to several constables being placed on duty outside the house in Costlow's Lane because there is such a crowd, and also they're kind of hoping to catch someone in the act of generating all this supernatural cause celebrity. Even the property is visited by members of the clergy in the area as well. So I'd like to think it's kind of sort of
taking no chances.
Sort of the Exorcist type thing.
Indeed.
You get the music from the Exorcist, you know, the Tubular Bells.
Tubular Bells.
Oldfield.
Yeah. Mike Oldfield.
Yeah, so that's on in the background there now. Mr. and Mrs. Kinloch are very prominent with giving interviews, which I think is very impressive for individuals in 1892. Mrs. Kinloch notes that they believe they are being targeted by an imp of the devil. And Kinloch becomes known or becomes branded the haunted man, that basically wherever he goes, he's being followed by this supernatural spirit. A lot of people seem to try and get in on the story. We have one witness notes that the ghost took the shape of a large greyhound and was after jumping over Kinloch's house three times, sat down before the door and created a most unearthly noise.
By golly.
A pretty powerful greyhound.
Isn't it?
From the sounds of it.
Absolutely.
So the Kinlochs decide time to sell up and leave.
So this is the second time they've left the property.
This is the second time, yes. So this time they're leaving from the city in Costlow's Lane. They have an appeal to the people of Waterford, which I think kind of sums up possibly where the truth of this story comes from. They decide that they're going to go to America. They believe that the spirit won't be able to traverse or cross water, particularly a big body of water like the Atlantic. And the Kinlochs hope that the charitable people of Waterford would pay for the family's passage to America.
To get rid of them, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
And did they?
The last bit we can find about Kinloch is that he gave an interview to the Evening Herald in Dublin just as he's about to depart for the States.
Okay.
But again, it's kind of a mystery in the sense of where does he come from in the first place? Where does he go?
Indeed.
I was going into Cotton Eye Joe there for a second.
Oh my God, I was thinking, I wonder. Yeah. Pretty much the end of the story we know about.
Yeah. Yeah. So you could take it two ways. You could take it as a little element of a con man. You could look at it as a social history in the sense of the
happenings of the time.
Reaction from ordinary people towards maybe someone that was, like we're saying, planted. So through someone else's misfortune, they had gotten this opportunity, or could well be the spirit, a ghostly spirit. I know at certain hours on that street, usually when the bars are closing, the pubs are closing, they can be a few unearthly sounds.
The spirits take to the streets again. My gosh. Keane Manning, thank you so very much.